Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building a selector dub-style top-loop drive from scratch in Ableton Live 12, and the whole idea is to use resampling as the creative engine. What we're making here is not a full drum kit. It's a pressure layer, a top-end loop that sits above the kick and sub, carries movement through the phrase, and gives the track that worn-in, sound system-ready character. Think of it as the rhythmic glue that keeps a D&B section alive between the snare hits. So start simple. Load a short drum break, percussion loop, or a tops pattern with no kick and no sub if you can help it. One bar or two bars is plenty. The best source material already has some internal swing, some ghost notes, maybe a shaker run, a rim hit, a chopped snare tail. You're not trying to build rhythm from nothing. You're mining a loop for the most useful top-end phrases. Before you do anything heavy, set the level sensibly. Keep the source around minus 12 to minus 8 dBFS, and keep it dry for now. You want to hear the truth of the groove before you start dressing it up. That's a really important habit. If the source doesn't have a good pulse on its own, no amount of saturation is going to save it. Now warp the clip and get it sitting tightly in the grid. For a D&B top loop, timing has to feel deliberate. If the loop is too loose, it sounds tired. If it's too hard quantized, it sounds pasted on. That sweet spot is edited, but not sterilized. Try beats mode for punchy percussion, or complex pro if the source is more textured and you want to preserve a bit of smear. Then tighten the obvious drift so the loop locks with the fast 16th note energy around it. What to listen for here is whether the loop snaps with the hats in your project without fighting the main snare. If the groove feels like it's dragging behind the beat, nudge it forward a little. Just a few milliseconds can completely change the energy in a 174 BPM context. Once the timing feels right, slice the loop into playable parts. In Ableton, you can slice to a new MIDI track and choose a transient-based method, so you can start shaping it like a performance instead of just a loop. You might keep smaller hit slices if you want precise control, or longer chunks if you want the edit to stay fluid. This is where the edit becomes musical. Pull out a busy hat phrase, a ghost note, a short shaker run, a crunchy in-between hit. Build a simple pattern that repeats a couple of fragments and then shifts at the end of bar 2 or bar 4. That tiny variation is what stops the loop from feeling like wallpaper. A good workflow move here is to duplicate the MIDI clip as soon as you find something promising, and rename the versions. That keeps you from losing the good groove while you keep experimenting. Honestly, that little bit of discipline saves you a lot of pain later. Now let's give the loop some character. Put a stock chain on it, or bounce the slices first and process the print. A solid starting chain is autofilter, saturator, drum boss, and EQ8. Keep it controlled. You want density and attitude, not mush. Use autofilter to isolate the useful top energy. Maybe you're moving a low pass or a band pass across a focused range, somewhere between the low hundreds and the upper highs depending on the source. Then add saturator, maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive, and use soft clip if you want more controlled thickness. Drum bus can add a bit of punch and crunch, but don't overcook it. Then use a EQ8 to cut whatever low end is hanging around and tame harshness if the top gets too sharp. Why this works in D&B is simple. Top loops need enough density to survive at club volume, but they still need transient clarity. If the attack gets blurred, they disappear into the cymbal ban and stop driving the groove. Saturation and drum bus give you pressure, and EQ keeps the loop out of the way of the kick and sub. Now comes the fun part. Resample the processed loop onto a new audio track. This is where Ableton becomes a recorder for sound design, not just a processor. Print a few bars while the loop is playing in context. I like to capture at least one fairly dry version, one dirtier version with more filter or distortion movement, and one version with a deliberate delay or return throw. Keep those prints organized and named clearly, because you will thank yourself later. Here's a useful decision point. If your track is already busy in the bass, a cleaner print is usually the move. If the drum system itself is supposed to be the hook, go dirtier and let the loop become part of the personality. There's no absolute right answer. It's about whether you need clarity or attitude. Once the audio is printed, edit it like a performance piece. Split it into small chunks, remove anything that weakens the pulse, and keep the hits that answer the snare or fill the gaps between kick placements. A lot of strong selector dub edits work, because they don't use every subdivision. They leave space on purpose. That space is what makes the next hit feel bigger. What to listen for now is whether the loop breathes around the snare or steps on it. If every 16th note is occupied, the groove can lose impact. A few empty spots can be more powerful than a wall of detail. From there, shape movement carefully. Auto filter, echo, and beat repeat can all be useful, but subtlety usually wins. A little cutoff automation, a short echo with low wet amount, or a controlled rhythmic repeat can add life without turning the whole thing into a wash. If you use echo, keep the delay times rhythmically related to the loop, like 1/16, 1/8, or dotted 1/8 depending on the groove. Just don't let the repeat smear over the snare unless that's a deliberate effect. And keep checking mono. That matters a lot. If the loop sounds huge in stereo, but falls apart in mono, narrow the core rhythm and keep the width for a separate FX layer. The main loop should stay solid, especially in a club context. Now put the loop in context with the kick, snare, and bass line. This is the real test. Alone, a top edit can sound amazing. In the mix, it has to earn its place. Ask yourself if it reinforces the groove or clutters the backbeat. Ask whether the snare still feels like the main event. Ask whether the bass is still readable underneath all the motion. If the snare loses authority, thin the loop around the low mids and the area where the transient is getting masked. If the hats feel exciting but the groove gets weaker, back off the processing and let more of the original hit come through. That balance is the whole game. Why this works in DNB is because the top loop has to support the section's dominant energy, not compete with it. In darker rollers and dubwise cuts, the top layer often creates the identity of the track between the snare hits. But if it steals focus from the snare or sub, the whole drop gets blurry. Now automate the phrase across a longer section. Don't let it sit there unchanged for 16 or 32 bars. Maybe the loop starts filtered and restrained, then opens up a little, then gets a touch dirtier, then drops one or two fragments for a mini-break feeling. That kind of subtle evolution keeps the arrangement breathing without turning it into an EDM-style sweep fest. A really effective dubwise move is to automate the filter down for the last half bar before a transition, then snap it open on the next downbeat. That creates a clean punctuation point and makes the section change feel intentional. And here's a coaching note that saves a lot of time. Print slightly longer than you think you need. Extra tail gives you room to cut cleaner boundaries, make fills later, and avoid re-recording every time you want a small variation. Also, keep a dry truth version before heavy processing. That way you can always hear whether the groove is actually strong, or whether the effects are carrying it. Once you've found the best version, commit it. Conserve the energy. In DNB, resampled top loops often become arrangement anchors, and committing them forces you to work like an editor instead of a loop browser. Trim the start and end cleanly. Make sure the loop repeats without clicks, and leave enough headroom so it can live with the rest of the drums and bass. A strong selector dub top loop should feel tight, intentional, slightly degraded, and rhythmically alive. It should survive club volume, support the snare instead of fighting it, and carry motion through the phrase without crowding the low end. If it does that, you've built a real track element, not just a cool sample. So here's your next move. Build one 2-bar top loop from a single source. Use only Ableton stock devices, make one clean print and one dirtier print, and keep your edits focused. Then test both versions against the kick, snare, and bass. If you want the proper challenge, arrange the two versions across a 16-bar sketch so one handles the more restrained section and the other brings the dirtier pressure. That's the whole mindset here. Resample, edit, commit, and let the groove do the talking. Go make something that feels like it's already lived on the system for years.